Chapter 6. If you have your Bible there with you by your computer, or if you want to open up another browser next to you and type in Daniel 6, I'm going to read verses 6 through 16. I think there might even be a link about to pop up in the comments below that you can click on. Daniel 6, chapter 6 through 16. This is a great story out of the life of Daniel. I'll tell you about him in just a second. And I'm going to read just a piece of this, Daniel 6, 6 through 16. I'm reading out of the Message, so hopefully you'll understand the story. And then we're going to jump in and think about this a little bit and what it means for us as we pray, especially in the midst of the world that we're living in today. So let's listen together for the word of the Lord. The vice regents and governors conspired together and then went to the king and said, King Darius, live forever. We've convened your vice regents, governors, and all your leading officials and have agreed that the king should issue the following decree. For the next 30 days, no one is to pray to any god or mortal except you, O king. Anyone who disobeys will be thrown into the lion's den. Issue this decree, O king, and make it unconditional, as if written in stone, like all the laws of the Medes and the Persians. King Darius signed the decree. When Daniel learned that the decree had been signed and posted, he continued to pray just as he had always done. His house had windows in the upstairs that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he knelt there in prayer, thanking and praising his God. The conspirators came and found him praying, asking God for help. They went straight to the king and reminded him of the royal decree that he had signed. Did you not, they said, sign a decree forbidding anyone to pray to any god or man except you for the next 30 days? And anyone caught doing it would be thrown into the lion's den? Absolutely, said the king, written in stone like all of the laws of the Medes and Persians. Then they said, Daniel, one of the Jewish exiles, ignores you, O king, and defies your decree. Three times a day he prays. At this, the king was very upset and tried his best to get Daniel out of the fix he had put him in. He worked at it the whole day long, but then the conspirators were back. Remember, O king, it's the law of the Medes and the Persians that the king's decree can never be changed. The king caved in and ordered Daniel brought and thrown into the lion's den. But he said to Daniel, your God, to whom you are so loyal, is going to get you out of this. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me. God, we invite you now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to teach us and to shape us more and more into your likeness. God, we want to walk in your ways. We want to resemble your truth. We want to be the people who have a faith that is not wavering. Lord, we want to be people who pray boldly because we have deep confidence in you. And so, God, we ask in these moments, even through Facebook Live, that your spirit would be at work, that what I say isn't my words, but they're yours, and that you're working in ways greater than we could ever ask or imagine. We trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I can remember in The Circle Maker, Mark Batterson tells the language of drawing circles around something, and we've used that language some. And I can remember the first time that I ever drew a circle around something. And I really prayed for something. There was something that I wanted that I had decided I was going to ask God for. And I was going to be faithful, and I was going to pray over and over and over again. And I just really wanted God to do this, and I thought it was the right thing. When I was about 24 years old, I was working in the first church that I worked in, and lots of churches I've worked in. I've been on the staff. I've seen pastor changes. Pastors will come and go and different things. And I was working in this church, and we found out that the pastor was going to move that following summer. And so the things at the church were going really good. We were loving it. There were lots of exciting things happening. And we kind of began to think, well, you know, we don't want to lose the momentum that we've had. We really like the pastor that we've had. And so we decided, with some of my other youth workers that were working with me, that we were going to pray relentlessly for the next pastor that was coming. And we pretty much had a list of everything that we believed that God should give us in that pastor. And if I look back now, reflecting, I'm pretty much sure that we had designed the resume of Superman, that we wanted someone who would work like 100 hours but still spend lots of time with their family. We wanted someone who was young and vibrant and charismatic and exciting. And we wanted this and that and this and that. And so we just began to pray. And as Mark Batterson would say, we circled. And we circled over and over again. I still have this image in my mind from those days of sitting in the youth center building that we had there at church with a team of people. And we were just praying, saying, God, would you send this person to be the next pastor of this church? And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And we find out, time went by and we finally found out who was going to be the pastor. And before I tell you any more of the story, I need to tell you that the man who became the pastor ultimately became a really good friend of mine. He was a colleague. He was a wonderful guy. But when they appointed him to become the pastor, I was really disappointed. And I felt like that God had slighted my prayers. Because I had had all these things about what I thought God should give us. And God didn't answer the way I thought that he should. This man did not look like Superman. I've come to find out now that I am a pastor, that there are very few pastors who actually are like Superman. He was a good guy. He had lots of gifts. He wasn't particularly young. He didn't look the way that I thought he should look. And so I really wrestled in this moment with, what is it that God is doing here? Because I prayed so faithfully that God would do something, and he didn't do what it was that I thought he should do that made perfect sense to me. I wonder if you've ever had a season like that. I wonder if you've ever had a time in your life where there's been something that you've wanted so desperately that you thought God should do that seemed to be the perfect answer to what you saw in your life. And you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and it didn't work out the way that you thought it would. Sometimes prayer becomes really hard and long. Prayer can be frustrating and boring. Prayer can be tough. And then to kind of add to it, we do a series like we've been doing, and you can go on our website and listen to some of the other sermons if you haven't heard those. And we tell stories about guys like Honey. He's the kind of lead story in this book where he's just this phenomenal prayer, and it seems like he's got a direct line to God, and whatever he asks God, he does. And last week, Pastor John told us about Elijah, that he had just faithful and he prayed. And so we talk about this, and what happens is it seems like our prayer life sometimes don't match up with what we see in Scripture. And the way we pray doesn't seem to kind of give the results that we see other people. And I don't know if you felt like that, but I can remember that first time when I had this deep desire for God to do something and really felt like I was asking the right thing. And it didn't work out. And I found it to be really frustrating, and I didn't know what to do with it. For all of the kind of Superman stories of prayer that we see in a series like this, it's really amazing because in the Bible, there are people who have experiences more like maybe what you and I have had. And Daniel is one of those. Daniel is an amazing character in Scripture. If you're looking for something to do over the next few weeks while you may be down in your house and holding tight where you are and social distancing, read the book of Daniel. Because Daniel is an amazing story about a guy who models faith in good times and in bad times. And Daniel's story kind of goes something like this. He was minding his own business, living in Jerusalem, when King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon came and he conquered Jerusalem. And King Nebuchadnezzar enslaved lots of the young men that he took captive in Jerusalem, and he carried them back to Babylon with him. And he took them back as slaves, and they were going to live and work for him in his kingdom. And Daniel was kind of the poster child of faithfulness. Everything that we see about Daniel was such that he just kind of lived and worked and did the right thing, and he prayed, and God seemed to give him favor for it. And so over and over again, what we see is that Daniel is living out his life faithfully, and God seems to be honoring it, and Daniel begins to gain favor all through the kingdom of Babylon. And so King Nebuchadnezzar gives him privilege and position, and different kings come and go, and they always respond to David, and he's doing great things. And when we join the story in chapter 6 that I read a few minutes ago, what we see is that King Darius, who's several kings removed from King Nebuchadnezzar, who enslaved Daniel, is about to make Daniel almost like the equivalent of vice president. I mean, he's going to be the prime minister over the whole kingdom. He's going to have authority over everything, and that he's really lived in this life that seems like he's getting everything that he could possibly want, despite the fact that he's enslaved. And all of a sudden, some of the other people, the locals, the people who had lived in that kingdom for a long time, they see that Daniel is about to be elevated to this status, and they get really jealous and angry. It was one thing for Darius to kind of say, Daniel, you can do some things and it's good and that kind of thing. But when they take the enslaved guy and they say he's going to be in charge of everyone, something in them kind of resists that. And so they say, you know, we got to figure out a way to go after Daniel. And so what they do is they work their way in to King Darius and say, you need to create this edict that says that nobody can pray to anyone except for you, King Darius. And so they kind of sneak into Darius' office. They trick him and get him to believe this. And King Darius makes this edict that says no one can pray to anyone. And they know, because Daniel has been so faithful, that they will catch him and that they will have a way to remove him from power and get him thrown into the lion's den. And so King Darius signs the edict, and Daniel would have known exactly when it happened. I mean, Daniel's office was in the West Wing. I mean, he would have known exactly what was going on. He would have seen everything that was happening. And so he finds out that this is happening. And really, there's this kind of dramatic moment, if you will, where we see Daniel and we kind of wonder what's going to happen. Because Daniel has this choice when he gets to this edict coming out of, is he going to be faithful to God, to the God that he's prayed to regularly, day in and day out, the whole time that he's been in captivity, the whole time that he's been there, all the way as things have been seemingly going really, really well? Or is he going to be loyal to King Darius, the one who's kind of given him the privilege right now, who's kind of patting him on the back today? And so there's this kind of tension, and we begin to wonder, you know, this edict has come out, and what's Daniel going to do? And so there's this kind of pause to wait and see what's going to happen. And verse 10 is really the verse that shows us exactly what's going to happen. And I want to read it to you again, because it's kind of where the whole thing kind of hinges in this story. It says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been signed and posted, he continued to pray just as he always had done. His house had windows in the upstairs that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he knelt there in prayer, thanking and praising his God. And so what we see is that in the midst of this moment where he was kind of uncertain about what to do, is that Daniel keeps doing what he had always done. It might be easy to think that Daniel could have rationalized his behavior. He would have been like, well, you know, I can still be faithful to God and I can stop praying. Or maybe God is abandoning me and I need to take this on my own. Or maybe it's up to me to be in charge in these few minutes. But that is not what we see Daniel doing. Daniel isn't praying through the lens of his comfort. Daniel isn't praying through some kind of picture of what happens today is the only thing that God is doing. And he models for us a picture of what we can all do in the midst of seasons where we might find ourselves wondering why God isn't responding, or wondering why prayer seems so difficult, or wondering if God even cares about what we're praying for. And in the midst of this kind of tough situation where things seem different or difficult, Daniel models what we all can do, and that is that he stops, he drops, and he prays. That Daniel stops, he drops, and he prays. And that really becomes the behavior that we see of Daniel, whether it's good times or bad times, is that no matter the circumstance, Daniel is one who models stop, drop, and pray. And I think for you and me, that's what we need to learn. That even when prayer is frustrating or it's challenging or we don't understand why God isn't responding or we feel like God may not even care, is that we need to continue to stop and drop and pray. Because really we don't have another option. What we've done oftentimes when we come to pray is we've proved we can't do everything on our own. We know that we don't really wear that Superman cape. And so we've already proved that we can't do it. And so if we give up on praying, the question is, what will we do instead? And I really have come to believe that in prayer, that praying and seeing God answer differently than we thought, or praying and seeing God maybe not even answer in the time that we were hoping, that that is not failure in prayer. I think so quickly people tend to think that if things don't go exactly the way we think they should go, that that's failure. But I think when we talk about prayer, that really failure in prayer is only if we ever quit praying. Because as long as we keep praying, as long as we keep stopping and dropping and praying, as long as we keep coming back to God and being honest and open and praying and asking Him and being bold and persistent and persevering, I believe that God is always working. And so what we see in Daniel is this picture that whether it is a good time and we seem to be getting everything that God wants to give us, or it is a bad time and things are not working out the way we thought they would, is that the model is that we always stop, drop, and pray. And I think there's two reasons that we don't do this. And Daniel kind of confronts these for us in this story. I think the first reason that we don't tend to do this, I mean, maybe you're even hearing this and you're like, yeah, Nolan, that sounds all good, but Daniel's kind of like Elijah or Honey or one of those kind of super people. You know, I can't pray in a tough situation. And I think you can. And I think the reason we don't is because we often pray through the lens of our own comfort. And I think that kind of dictates most of our prayers in many ways. If I rewind to that story where I first prayed for that pastor, and you know, if I'm honest, looking back some 20-something years later, my prayers were 100% driven by what I thought would be the best for me. You know, I thought it'd be wonderful if there were a new pastor came that was about my age or was similar in age, or we could work together, or they were really in favor of lots of things that I were doing. And so I was praying 100% based on what would be comfortable for me. It didn't mean it was inauthentic or malicious or my intent was bad, but the only thing I was really thinking about in that moment was what was best for me. And so we pray out of the lens of our comfort, and we have to remember over and over again that prayer is not really about our comfort. Prayer is not about making our lives easier. Prayer isn't even really about the answers that we get from God. Prayer is about God's glory and about His will. And it's about, one of the things I love that Batterson says in the book over and over again, is that it's not about us getting our agenda into God, but it's about God getting His agenda into us. And that what He wants is for us to become a people who are living, submitted to Him and His will and His glory. And so as we continue to pray and we continue to surrender our own comfort and we continue to surrender and trust that God can see bigger and knows better, that we don't pray out of our comfort. And so sometimes we don't get things that we think we should get. But if we really peel the motives back, part of why we're asking for that is because it's just what we think would make our life the easiest. And what we'll find in our spiritual life is as we trust and pray, as we grow in faith, is that our lives won't get easier in some ways, that they may get harder. And I don't mean that to scare you off, but as our faith grows, God is going to put us into more situations and places where we're being challenged and expanded, and God wants to do more and more. And so if we're praying out of our comfort, we're going to find ourselves in really tough situations. And so we just need to keep stopping and dropping and praying. The second reason I think that we probably don't pray the way that Daniel prays is that we tend to pray through a mindset of as soon as possible. You don't need me to tell you that we live in a microwave culture. And so we live in this culture where we want things instantaneous. You know, we want to pray it and we want to see it. You know, before we walk out the door, I wanted to pray for that pastor that day. And by, you know, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, I wanted to know, all right, you've got exactly what you prayed for. And that is just not how God works. One of the things that I've learned in reading The Circle Maker over the last few weeks is that prayers work a lot like seeds. And that God, all through the Bible, uses agricultural language to talk about planting seeds and growing and pruning and bearing fruit. And that in order to get a mighty oak of righteousness, that it can take a long time. And sometimes as we pray, what we're seeing is that seeds are being planted, but it will take a long time to bring them to fruition. And Batterson tells all kinds of stories about places where he's learned of prayers that were prayed 50 and 100 years ago that are coming to fruition today. And so every time you pray, it's not that you are, you know, pulling some magic cord that's going to allow you to get the answer right then exactly as soon as possible. You may be planting a seed that will come to fruition in a way far greater than you can even imagine. And so rather than praying with a mindset of as soon as possible, we need to begin praying with a mindset of as long as it takes. There's this great story in Daniel 10, just a few pages over, of how Daniel begins to pray for something, and he learns later that his request was heard the day he prayed it, and that God began to answer it, but it took 21 days for all of the pieces to move in a way that he could actually see the answer. And so we can see, demonstrated in the pages of Scripture, that sometimes we pray, and that rather than kind of having this microwave where we're going to get the response immediately, is that it's more like a crop pot. And so rather than praying, God, do it as quick as you can, we want to pray, God, take as long as you need. Because what we want is what God wants. And if it's going to take God longer to bring forth what He desires, then we want to trust Him that He knows the timing and that He's looking at a bigger picture. And then the other thing that I think we learn from Daniel are really two things to motivate us as we pray. And the first one of these is this, is that when you pray, when you stop, drop, and pray, you're not risking your reputation. You're really risking God's. And so when we pray, you know, sometimes we get mad because things don't work the way we think they should. And so we're like, God, I quit. You know, I'm not going to do this. And, you know, if we pray for something and God doesn't respond the way we think He should, that's not on us. Because what we know about is that God is faithful. And we know that God is a God who keeps His promises. And we know that God is a God who is for us. And we know that God is a God who loves us. And we know that God is a God who longs to show off, you know, that He is the ruler of the world and that he can do anything. And so we can trust him. That when we pray, that if he doesn't do something, we don't have to worry about, you know, that's on us. Because what we can do is say, that's on God. And God is big enough to handle that. And so if we've prayed for someone to be healed, or if we prayed we'd get to do something, or if we prayed for a job or that kind of thing, and for whatever reason it hasn't worked the way we thought it would, what we can do is rest confidently in God. And that God is good enough, and that God is one who promises to give good things, and that even when it doesn't work, that he is still good and he is still faithful, and it doesn't tarnish his reputation. And so knowing that God is good and it's on him, we can just stop, drop, and pray. That we can continue to pray no matter the circumstance, because no matter what's happening, God is faithful, and he is a promise keeper, and he is the one who wants to move forward in the situations that we're in. And then the last thing I'd say about that, the thing that we learned from Daniel is this, is that God always answers his prayers. There is no prayer that you will ever pray that God won't answer. And he always answers his prayer, as Oswald Chambers tells us, through the lens of love. And so even when you pray challenging prayers that don't seem to get answered, it's not that God isn't answering. God is answering your prayers through love. And that means that sometimes things won't go the way you think. But if I'm honest, you know, and I look back, especially in that place where I first circled that pastor that would come to the church, my intent wasn't clear. I didn't know the full presence and will of God. And so God answered the prayers that I was praying. He just did it in a very different way than I thought. And that's not a cop-out. That's resting in a God who sees more than I see. That's resting in a God who loves us and is for us. And that's resting in a God who knew how I needed to grow personally and knew what he needed to do with his church and knew the lives of all the people who are connected. And so we can rest that no matter what we pray, whether it's healing or work or reconciliation or something in our world or something related to the pandemic around us, that God is answering our prayers. That doesn't mean that he's doing exactly what we want, but God is always answering our prayers through love. And we can rest in that in amazing ways. When I prayed all those prayers, I was really disappointed 20 years ago, whatever it was now, that God didn't do what I thought he should do, that he didn't answer the way that I thought he should answer. And I told you, you know, looking back, you know, I could see that I wanted something in my vision of what a pastor should be. And the guy that came was really a good pastor and did lots of good things. But there's so much more to that story now that I can see looking back. Looking back, I see the guy that came there, and he ended up having a wonderful ministry there. He was a phenomenal pastor, led that church very well. There were people who connected to him that had never connected while I served that church or while the pastor before him had served that church. And so he came and he brought somebody in the church that was different than anything before. Another thing that's amazing is the pastor that came, he had children who were youth age. They're teenagers at the time. And his daughter ended up getting called to ministry in that church. And that was partly through the youth ministry that I was working with. And so they come to this church, and she ends up getting called to ministry. And today she has a faithful life of ministry that partly came out of her coming to that church. And then the thing that just blows me away the most is I prayed so long that God would send a young pastor. And I remember specifically thinking that they would work about 100 hours. And it was about 2 or 3 years ago that I was at an event where I met this young clergy couple. And I began to visit with them and just talk to them. And I didn't know them at all. I was new to the Alabama Support Conference. And so I was just kind of listening. And all of a sudden, they said, oh, well, we should serve a pastorate together. And I just kept asking questions. And when I asked them where, they named the church that I worked at. And all of a sudden, something in me went, here are two young, dynamic pastors that maybe not individually work 100 hours, but together, they work about 100 hours. And I was like, wow. I was like, you know, 20-something years later, God answered the prayer, and they've got this dynamic ministry going on in that church in a way that I would have never dreamed, and God did all these other great things through that whole thing. And so all of that is to say that no matter what happens, no matter where we are, we don't really have another choice but to stop, drop, and pray. And that God wants us to continue to pray boldly and big and to persevere. And we're in the midst of a world right now. I mean, outside us, the world around us is spinning and it's crazy and there's anxiety. And so we're going to be called on to pray. And it may be easy for you to think like Daniel and go, you know, I just need to take a break from this. You know, once all this settles down. But I believe that God actually wants us to press into this. that this, of all the times, is the time for us to pray specific, big, bold, persevering prayers. That this is the time for us to double down on the 21 days of prayer and say, you know, for the next few weeks, I'm just going to really pray. And I'm going to pray for the things that I believe God wants me to pray for. And we're going to pray confidently and we're going to rest because, I'm going to put that there, because God knows what he's doing. And God wants to hear us pray. And God delights in giving us good answers. And so as we continue to walk through these days, not knowing what's ahead, no matter what the circumstances look like, there is one thing that we can do, and that is that we can stop, drop, and pray. Pray with me right now. God, thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are for us and that you want us to pray. And so, Lord, even when the going gets tough and the situations seem hard, would you help us trust you and pray all the more? Would you help us be a people who stop, drop, and pray? That no matter what, we would continue to come to you. That we would call out and cry out because you are good and you are faithful and we can rest in you. And so even in these moments, as we begin to finish our time of worship together, Lord, I just pray that you would help us begin to call out to you. Lord, you know the situations of our life. You know the situation of the world around us. And I pray all across Facebook land right now that people are paying bold prayers. I just want to invite you right now in your home, wherever you are, with your family, with whoever you're around, by yourself, just voice a prayer. What is it that you want to see God do? What's something that you can begin to call out? Maybe it's something you've been praying for over the last couple weeks, or maybe it's something that's on your heart. So just right now, I invite you to pray. Stop, drop, and pray. Because we really don't have another option.